Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, my partners in publishing, and all that that entails, all the fun that that entails right now, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, it is early in the morning. We have just come together and had the world's shortest production meeting about our content for today, which I'm excited about. And I gather you guys are too. But Pipe, before we get into the meat of today's show, why don't you tell us about the business aspect of this operation, which is huge and successful, much like our book sales in the past for all three of us. Kyle, if you're listening, it's been a wild, lucrative ride for us, boys, and it's only getting more lucrative. So Pipe, tell our listeners about our sponsor for today.
Our sponsors for today are our partner, Redbud City Coffee Roasters. So we have enjoyed being coffee moguls for some time now, and the partnership with Redbud is a thriving one. If you go to redbudcoffee.com, you can see they have a rotating list of roasts from they're all single origin. They're from all over the world. I just ordered, I think, the Costa Rican and the Brazilian roasts a couple days ago. They should be arriving anytime. So yeah, go check them out. They're just a great family run business. I think they're out of like central Illinois. So, just true salt of the earth people. And then use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout to get a 10% discount. You can order whole bean or ground. You can order them in standard like 12-ounce bags or really big 36 and 48-ounce ones if you're a bit of a coffee fiend. I've done that in the past. I kind of like having the extra coffee on hand. So again, go to redbudcoffee.com. Use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout. Get 10% off.
They also have offices in New York and L.A., though.
I mean,
to be fair. Because like us, they're also super successful. Kyle, if you're listening. That's all.
Yes, and that, I mean, it's salt of the earth doesn't just mean heartland.
No, right. Salt of the earth means, you know, successful regardless of where you are.
Yes. And trustworthy. I don't know what salt of the earth means, but I associate it with trustworthy and hardworking. They are both.
I do. Yeah. How much of your self-esteem, you guys, do you derive from being coffee moguls still? For me, it's significant. I mean, I have no self-esteem, so it's kind of a both and.
I derive more from being a coffee drinker just because it just sort of boosts me every day.
Yeah, solid.
And then
Dwell, Piper, does that boost you every day as well?
It does, actually, although my wife listens to it more frequently than I do. I use it periodically. She uses it pretty much every day while she gets ready for work. Nice. So Dwell Bible app is our other partner and sponsor for today. And so Dwell is an audio Bible app, and they have just recently rolled out a new feature that they wanted us to highlight, which is actually pretty cool. It's a sleep timer, so you can set it up so, you know, have like Psalm 23 reading to you as you fall asleep, and instead of burning your battery all night long, it will actually cut off after 30 minutes or whatever your timer is. Along with that, they have listening plans, they have playlists, they have a whole variety of different ways that you can set up a listening experience to kind of maximize your engagement with Scripture through Dwell. If you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can get a 20% discount off the annual subscription or the lifetime subscription. It comes out to less than $2 a month, so very affordable, very worthwhile, and a great way to get Scripture into those parts of your life where otherwise you might not be able to sit and read and focus, but commuting, chores, exercising, falling asleep with this great new sleep timer feature, etc. So again, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant and check that out.
Nice. It's almost as though Dwell like was calibrating these things with our best interests in mind, Piper, which sounds a whole lot like the people we're going to talk about today, which is our moms. You had a brilliant idea of like whatever's the opposite of this godless hellscape of a year that we're in. And we decided that it was our mothers. We've talked about our dads a lot on the program. We're all big fans of our dads, but we're big fans of our moms too. And we're just going to talk about our moms today on the Happy Rant. So shout out mothers, shout out our mothers. Pipe, where should we start with this? I feel like there should be like a little bit of a roadmap of where we're going to go, but I'm just going to toss a question out there and we'll see what kind of dialogue it gets going. What's your favorite like enduring memory of your mother from like childhood? And Pipe, you can get us started.
Man, there's, I think my favorite enduring memory of my mom was a big reader, and not just like sit in a corner and read by herself, but like she made sure that we were a family of readers. So we used to take these family road trips, like vacations and stuff, and we always loaded into the big like Woody station wagon, you know, with the, like the backwards facing seat and
the
stuff.
The backward facing seat. Yeah.
Yep. Love. So because there was four boys at the time, this was before we adopted my sister, I got stuck in the way back with the luggage, which sounds a lot like punishment, except that it was awesome because I got to like throw a sleeping bag on top of the suitcases and play with my G.I. Joes and whatever, while my brothers were all crammed in the crappy vinyl middle seat. And but my mom would kill a lot of the time. This was all kind of pre-electronic devices, except maybe Walkmans. And she would read to us. So my mom would read like whole series of books to us, not just like little kids' books when we were elementary school, but like fantasy and historical fiction and all this stuff. So she'd kind of angle around on that front bench seat, you know, pass out the snacks, and then read to us for like, it felt like hours at a time. And I would just be lying on top of the suitcases while she read. I'm trying to think some of the series that she read. I mean, she would do like Chronicles of Narnia. She probably did The Hobbit, but there was a couple book series. There was a guy named John White who did this whole series about, it was kind of Christian based fantasy fiction. She would read Stephen Lawhead stuff to us. Mm. And so that's where I learned like what being drawn and quartered was.
Nice.
You know, because that's what good moms teach their sons on long road trips, is what it means to be drawn and quartered.
Which is what would have happened if anyone had hit the back end of your car. You know, those weren't built for safety necessarily.
It's also what might have happened from my dad if we had spoken ill of my mom or to my mom. I think he might have also drawn and quartered us. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool, though, when the pops comes to the defense of the mom, though.
Oh, that was terrifying. My dad... He wasn't. He didn't have a hot temper in general, but yeah, don't cross my mom if you were one of her sons. He didn't stand for it.
Now she wouldn't get carsick reading in the car like that.
No, you know, God's gift to our whole family that she could like turn around face backwards in a car. Granted, riding in one of those station wagons wasn't like riding in a car. It was probably smoother than riding in an airplane.
It's like a living room on wheels.
Yeah. You know? They were so heavy. And then we had like 8,000 pounds of luggage in there plus, six people. So, yeah, it was just gliding, just floating along. And, of course, my dad was driving, so you're also going like 11 miles an hour in the right lane. So,
so John Piper was a slow driver.
Still is. Yep. He's a right lane speed limit guy.
Okay, so I want to go in on that for like 2 minutes. Was it convictional, like... this is what the speed limit is, therefore this is what I'm doing? Like, I can't imagine that there was any area of his life that went unlike examined. So was it that kind of deal, or was it just sort of like timidity on the road?
Oh no, he's not timid. You know that because like how he turns left at green lights in front of other cars. He's okay. It's not timidity. It's absolutely it's lawfulness. Mm-hmm. He is a letter of the law. He's like, it says 55. Mm-hmm. There's not a rationalization for going faster, except I don't want to follow the law.
Yeah.
Whereas my argument is, if it's not enforced, it's not really a law. And I've asked police officers and they're like, yeah, you know, 8-9 over is fine. At 10, we'll start to look at you. So
yeah,
if that's what the law enforcement says, that's the actual law. So we disagree on this. I don't argue with him. I just drive faster.
That's funny, man. Big R, tell us about your mom, baby. Best, like, or most enduring childhood memory.
Yeah, man, Pipe said something that was funny about it struck a memory inside of me, which was, I remember the first time my dad referred to, he was angry because mom had a bad day with the kids. Mm-hmm. And I remember when he got home, it was the first time he referred to our mom as his wife.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. That stuff sticks
like,
with you.
Oh, I forgot that the only reason why we exist is because she's your wife and she was your wife first. And he made that like really clear. And I went, oh, I forgot. Like, she's not your mom. She's your wife. And you're not real happy with us right now.
Yeah.
And that was, I don't know, that was a sobering moment because of the way he said it. And I was like, oh, okay. Hearing you.
Yeah. You realize that in that moment, he's looking at you the same way he would look at like a drunk guy who catcalled her. Yeah. He's like, you will not insult my wife. And you're like,
he should look at you that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. So we grew up in this really, this sort of magical rural part, this valley in Southern California. And what was great about it was that it was magic and it was these rolling green hills and there was nobody around. What was bad about it was that everything was an hour away.
Ah.
And so my dad bought my mom this. I mean, there was only three of us by this time, but my dad bought my mom this 12-passenger Ford Econoline van, which, again, man, thinking of dad's logic through this, given the gas mileage that it got. Again, the gas was probably only 50 cents a gallon anyway. But nevertheless, my endearing memories of Ma would be, man, just driving in this passenger van everywhere. We spent a considerable amount of time in the passenger van, in the Econoline. And
so would this have been like an early homeschool van, like a first gen homeschool van kind of thing?
Yeah, it probably would have been. And, you know, minus the homeschool, right? Because this was pre homeschool hype and all that stuff. So,
dude, this was in the boom of Christian education.
It totally was. So this was early. Yeah, this was Christian school personified. But our Christian school at the time, we drove like an hour and 15 minutes each way to get to school. Like,
wow, dude, that is a big time commute. You guys put
brutal. It was
thousands of dollars of gas through that Econoline. That's amazing.
That was just my school. And then after that, my mom would have to drive 20 minutes in the other direction to drop like my little brother and sister off. So it was like,
so they went to a different Christian school than you did.
They went to different ones because my school was only, you know, 8 through 12 or whatever.
Oh, I thought maybe they needed like a more dispensational upbringing and you were like, well, exactly. we're going to put him in like the slightly more charismatic or something like that.
Type. They were equal opportunity, man. So don't worry about that. There was an equity of charismatic/dispensational Christian schools at that time to go around for everybody.
They actually drove your brother to Israel a couple of times a week in that time.
In the van.
Yeah. Well, they didn't drive to Israel, but they would hang our Israel flags on the Econoline as we're pulling into the parking lot, right?
They had a little Star of David on the rearview mirror.
Totally, 100%, because, you know, Israel. But that's going to get us in trouble somehow right there, but I don't mind.
Dude, I think it is. Yeah, that's
well, not in our tribe. I mean, I don't know. But so this is what we had, Big T. You'll like this.
Yeah.
So this was – we had an old Econo, and we had 8-tracks. So, the memories were literally driving with Ma and the siblings – just popping in Keith Green and Larry Norman and Daniel Amos 8-tracks and us literally just listening to – it's not like we had a wealth of these things, by the way. It's not like we had a collection of like 200 8-tracks. We had like 11 and we would just literally just cycle through.
Just wear them out.
Things. Well, nobody had more than 11 because where are you going to put 200 8-tracks? You know, you need like a storage facility for 208. Well,
they had five people in a 12-passenger van. They could have had a whole library.
Could have fit more in.
That's
and,
true.
And there was always like this idea, hey, can we stop at the Christian bookstore and actually buy a new one? It was like a dream, you know. Dude. And every once in a while we'd get something and we would just wear those things out. We would sing together. We knew every word. And I spent I can't get those hours back, all that time in the Econo. But they were actually good. They were good hours. They were good memories for us with mom. She just hauled us everywhere. So, dude, think about like hauling us to school, going home. Oh, piano lessons, you know, back to piano lessons. That's all we did, man. We were just in this car driving away from magical home.
Your dad would have literally been a millionaire were it not for like all the gas you guys bought.
100. Yeah, not even debatable.
Can we pause and just consider the sheer amount of like sacrifice that a mom makes? What are we talking, like 3 hours of driving a day to get kids to and from school? I mean, that's horrendous.
It is horrendous. It's not especially like fun driving either. It's not relaxing, you know.
Yeah, because like
kids in your car,
it's the kind of thing where if she goes back home afterwards, she's got like a 4-hour window to get maybe a little bit of stuff done and then turn around and do it all over again.
Like, that was the whole deal. She didn't even have that long of a window after all was said and done. And it was like, so she spent, I don't know how many years of her life with the shortest, and she was classic housewife mom, right? And so, I mean, that that window, that was like gold every day for her. I mean, that was literally freedom. That was like, finally, I have a life. That was, I got to cram everything into 3 hours, you know, to get everything done. I mean, it was, it was everything for her. It was crazy. Yeah,
like, I think about the way that I get frustrated. So if my kids get invited to like a birthday party and they're like, it's from 5 to 8 p.m. I'm like, all right, so I'm going to drop them off at 5. What am I going to do for 3 hours before I go back and pick them up? It's like that, except with hugely extended commutes on either side and probably responsibilities in the middle, as opposed to how do I kill time?
Totally.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was horrendous. I can't believe she did it, but it was sort of the sacrifice of like kind of living out in this sort of, like I said, like this sort of this magic rural, you know, area for us to grow up. That was the sacrifice. The sacrifice is that we never had any time to enjoy it because we were in the Econo driving all day.
But the scenery was nice.
The scenery was fantastic. Yeah.
That's amazing. Dude, you mentioned something in your segment that made me think of something from the 80s and from the world of moms, which was Christian bookstores. Oh, like, shout out Christian bookstores. That was a big part of like, whatever the pattern of my mom's life was. So she was she would occasionally sing like solos at church, which was the 80s-est thing, right? Like, you never have a soloist at church anymore.
Yeah, like the big poofball microphone and stuff.
Yeah, dude, like the whole thing, the big like backing
special
track.
Music, big T.
Special music. Yep. Yeah, so like my mom, part of her life was to drive to the Christian bookstore. Like, she was looking through the like Sandy Patty backing tracks.
Oh, so the tracks.
She could sing tracks.
Oh, yeah.
So she could sing a solo at church. And I remember just killing untold amounts of time in Christian bookstores, like waiting for her to do that. But I would like, I don't know, go to that little, you know how they had that little room where you could throw like a Petra record on and a set of headphones and listen to it or whatever. So I would while away the hours doing that while she looked for her backing track. She was
isolated time with Petra. It's so forming for you.
Very formative, that isolated time with Petra. Absolutely. But my mom was a great singer. She had a really beautiful singing voice. And the whole like Christian bookstore stop was there are so many things that were like native to us in the 80s, especially growing up evangelical, that like our kids will never experience. And that's one of them, just because like special music is gone from churches. But when I think of like enduring memories of my mom, weirdly, so my dad was a pilot. My dad was he was an athlete and a coach. And, but a little bit later in my childhood, he became a pilot. So, you know, he wasn't there necessarily for like every practice. And my mom would actually like wrap my ankles before practice. And she was the least athletic, least invested in sports person imaginable, except that she like loved me and learned how to do it and wanted my ankles to be healthy. And like when I had blisters, she would tape those up. And so I just remember like propping my foot up on some ottoman while my mom, who had no interest in sports, would wrap my ankle. So that's a good one. I had another one. Oh yeah. Because my dad flew a lot and traveled a lot. He would be gone for a night or two at a time. And my mom would always pull out like Sound of Music, some kind of video that she wanted to watch, like Fiddler on the Roof. So I think a lot of my artistic formation, and she was a very creative person. So she did the music stuff and painting, and I think whatever creativity I managed to like finagle out of my childhood came from her influence. But yeah, like having seen some of those movies, some of those musicals, it's all her doing. So those are pretty solid memories of the time that we would get to spend together when Pops was gone.
Gee, it's probably why you're a big Downton Abbey fan. You know what I mean?
I think it is. Yeah, she was big into that.
Like, music and Fiddler on the Roof, the next obvious marker is going to be Diabs, you know?
Totally. And she was a reader. She liked all those like British stories, and you know, she had a real taste for that kind of thing. So
your story, man, it kind of makes me think that maybe we should give our listeners like just a moment of silence over the lack of special music.
Special music. I know, totally a thing of the 80s. What if we here, and we should do the moment of silence, but
totally a thing in the '80s. And also the church I was at 10 years ago, who still was keeping that tradition going.
Dude, I've been in that church and it was very '80s. Like everything about it, a lot of ficus trees.
Yeah, I totally forgot you were in that church.
Yeah, dude, I walked around in that church and it's so exceedingly '80s in great ways. But
what color was the carpet in that church?
Taupe.
It was wood, actually.
Also, the walls were taupe and the trees were taupe.
But the wood was like that like yellowy wood, right?
Well, it was bamboo pipe, believe it or not. It was like really expensive wood, but it still looked 80s somehow.
What was this, like a church in Bali or something?
It was, yeah. My mom would take me to the Econo line every day to Bali to go to church.
That's right. They had the best Christian schools.
Those vans were really underrated.
Dude, they really are, man. And they love Israel. Moving on.
Of course. Dude, what if now you're a man of the cloth, Piper's in the church business now. I'm not, so I have no power over this. But what if we like brought back special music? What if we made a concerted effort over the next year to like get a lady in a dress with some poofy hair up on the stage singing to like a tape, you know? Can we do that?
I actually think that's so miserable. It's cool now.
Yes,
like,
dude.
But then like, I know it's like, so like my worship guy, like sometimes he'll have, I mean, wait for it, boys. Don't be offended. Sometimes he'll have a woman kind of start one of our songs. I know you're probably gonna have to kick me off the pod now.
But, sorry, Dougie Wilson. Our apologies.
Dude, he's getting all PhD on this thing again, man. He's got to get in his couple of digs about like gender stuff.
Way to be ecumenical, Ron. Good job.
Gloria Steinem, everybody.
I know how hardcore you guys are about that. I know how CBMW you guys are about these things. But anyway, but it's funny because like it's like even that, it's like, oh no, did we go too far? Like was it too much like special music that she sang the first like four words? Like that's as special music as we get now, is like somebody on the team singing the first line accidentally by herself before everybody picks up with her.
So who decided that special music was like a terrible thing? Like, do you guys remember like who struck the death blow to special music?
I think it
music?
Was all the people in the world who knew it was terrible.
Oh.
Well, I think it probably coincided with like the rise of like big worship music, so like the WOW worship and stuff, where people were like, "Oh, we can do music that like sounds melodically not awful."
And you put like 25 male models on stage and make it loud and
and that's not to speak highly of a lot of that worship music, cuz a lot of it was sort of vapid garbage, but at least it was like well produced,
yeah,
as opposed to like a couple warbling voices over a track of like dishpan drums and electric piano.
Yeah. I think too is just, you know, this whole movement of, man, we're not here to perform, we're here to do, you know, congregational worship, everybody sings. We don't want to platform anybody.
Yeah, we don't want to platform it except our pastor, you know.
Except for the pastor for 45 minutes every Sunday. But other than that, nobody gets special treatment.
For 45 minutes every Sunday and 80 hours a week on Twitter. Other than that, no platforming.
Nope, zero. None.
I have a question for you guys about moms. Yep. And this one might be, this is a potentially touchy subject, but we're going to go for it anyway. How did your mom keep order in the house? Realize, Ted, you were an only child, so order was very different for you than those of us with a full house. Yeah. Slash discipline when you needed it. What was the sort of disciplinary order keeping style?
Yeah. There was a lot of order in my house. My house was quiet. Like, I loved being an only child. I was such a huge fan of that, such that it's actually been hard to have multiple kids, because especially when they were young, I was like, where's the quiet? Like, where's my hour and a half to reflect every afternoon, you know? So I missed that. She was a tough disciplinarian though. Like, and my mom is the softest hearted, kindest, sweetest person. And usually people like that can get run over, you know, that's the risk that they can run, or they can be so loving and so accommodating that they're afraid to like put their foot down. But, my mom was tough with the discipline. And one of the memories that I have, which would be like, this would cause like CPS calls in 2020. Like, she would wash my mouth out with soap.
Dude.
Like if, Yeah, if I would swear.
What did you say that, like, do you remember any specifics? Like, you know, have you seen the movie A Christmas Story?
Yeah, dude.
You know, where he says fudge, except it's not fudge, yeah. And then gets the bar of soap. What did you say?
I got it for that one, definitely. But also, exactly. This one I'll never forget. I made fun of another kid's last name, and she freaked. Because we have a weird last name, and you know, she probably knew what I would put up with and what, you know, kids could just be mean, but she didn't tolerate me being mean to other kids in that way. I wasn't a mean kid. I'm sure I was just experimenting with like making a joke, you know, about somebody's last name, but I was in that front bathroom getting the bar of like Dial soap shoved in my mouth for that one.
Dude,
In today's like vernacular, that moment would be anathema. You know, it would be like,
yeah, you don't have mother anymore if that's today.
Yeah, I'd be like, what wounds do you have from that? And I'm like, no wounds, except that maybe I'm a little bit better of a person because she did it. You know, like I'm
also, I learned not to eat soap.
Yeah, she was 1,000,000,000% in the right. I was in the wrong. And it was effective because I remember it. So yeah, shout out to my mom for doing discipline.
Ted. I don't know.
Nah, dude, discipline. You know, and I think that was another thing of the 80s. Like, you could discipline your kid without it being a 75-page white paper or a discussion or, you know, it was just sort of accepted that parents would discipline their kids. And now it's like, I don't know, kids come to our house and it's just like they're doing parkour on the furniture and nobody's saying anything. You know what I mean? It's insane.
Dude, I got some soap. I had the
Did you?
I had the soap experience for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what it was. But you know what? So, Pike, to your point, man. So it wasn't like in A Christmas Story for me. She didn't just put the bar in my mouth, but she would like take it and rub it across my teeth.
Oh,
it's like soap shavings scraped onto your teeth.
Totally. So she would just rub it all across my teeth and up into my lips. And so that, you know, for 5 seconds or whatever. And so it was like, okay, we're done. But it's like, now you have like, that's what a filthy mouth, that's what it's actually like.
Yeah.
So she was teaching me through it. So then it was like, so you'd go and you'd immediately try to rinse out your mouth, but then it would just become all like bubbly and soapy and sudsy.
She was a genius.
Oh dude. Yeah. So, you just like the more water you put in, the more it was like bubble bath in the mouth, right?
Yeah.
So at some point it was like, I don't know how to get rid of this stuff because the more water I do to rinse it out, it just makes it worse. Like that was brilliant.
You were learning a little bit about science too.
I was learning a little bit about science. And
trust the science.
After the age of 7, I never spoke to my mom again.
There you go. Well, what sweet memories, you know?
So, guys, all of this Econoline soap stuff is pre 8 years old.
Exactly. A lot of miles in the Econoline before.
Yeah, if you talked to Lorraine recently, let me know and say hi to her for me because that was it.
Dude, is she still driving like whatever today's version of the Econo would be?
Yeah, that would be a BMW SUV, and I shouldn't have said that, but I did.
Dude, Lorraine, living well, dude. She put in a lot of miles in the Econo.
Yeah, she earned it with all of that commuting.
BMW SUV, man. There's no doubt about it.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Pipe, what about you? Lessons from your mom from childhood?
My mom, so I'm the youngest of 4 boys, and my mom is the oldest of 10 kids. So needless to say, she learned a fairly firm-handed version of keeping order in the house. And not in like a drill sergeant, like she was hard and mean, but like the rules were the rules and you knew exactly what they were. I was like, I never wondered whether or not I was out of line. I knew exactly what in line was and exactly what out of line was. And, and they were kind of a one size fits all disciplinarian family. Like it wasn't until I was probably like middle school that we moved beyond just you're getting a whooping. Like it's just, you know, so if you're fighting with your brother, if you break something, if you lie, if, you know, you mouth off to your parents, whatever, you're just, you know, you're getting a whooping. And so it was just that. And, I, you know, I'm sure there are people who are like, oh, you have to discipline different kids different ways. And I think that's probably true. But when you have four boys and like you're just constantly bordering on anarchy.
Yeah.
A firm hand is about the only way to handle it. And I don't recall them, either of my parents, like I don't recall a sense of like, boy, they were really over the top. I pretty much always deserved it. But she, like, I remember her, she would, you know, my brother would be like sitting on my chest, just beating on me. And she would walk in and she didn't take sides. She would like collar us both, like send us to different corners, paddle us both and like sit us off somewhere. And it was just like, just crushing all uprisings before, you know, she's like, I'm not the jury. I'm just the judge. Like we're not weighing cases here. Whose fault it was. I don't care. Don't do this anymore. And it was pretty effective.
It's kind of cool that they didn't have like mommy blogs back then where she would have like collared both of you and then set you in like some perfect lighting and taken a picture of it, you know?
Yeah.
It would have been so much better though.
It would have been so good. Yeah.
It would have been so much better.
You know, it's really, using your kids as object lessons for the internet is great. It's really good for their psyches. So like, I wish she would have done that more.
I need to write a blog about it. And then afterwards, I need to get some comments on you to add to the blog. That would have been so instructive, man.
So enriching too.
I think, you know, it's so like the whole rise of the mommy blog and like this life is so messy and my life is one big load of laundry kind of thing. Like, I don't even think my mom thought in those terms. You know, with four boys playing,
didn't exist.
Yeah, playing like four different sports. She was like a professional chauffeur while also not missing games, or at least she or my dad were at one of our games because sometimes they were at the same time in different parts of the city. I remember, you know, we did chores and we would have these piles of laundry that were like floor to ceiling and took up half the living room because, again, six people in the house. And she just never quit. Like, I don't know when my mom rested ever.
Yeah.
Cause
I know. I always wonder that too, Pipe. I know they had like those days where it was just nonstop, man. It's crazy to think about.
Did your moms ever hit that point? Like, I remember one specific occasion. My mom was at the stove making dinner, and I'm sure it had been one of those days that was like, took three of us to different practices. We went to private schools here and there too. So like, there was a lot of, we didn't have buses. So a lot of carpooling and things like that. So maybe she took a carload of like other little brats too. And then laundry and whatever. And we're just bickering. Me and at least one of my brothers are just bickering. She just slams the wooden spoon down. So like spaghetti sauce or whatever it was like splatters up to the ceiling. She turns around and just walks out of the house.
Yes.
I was probably like six. And I was like, mom's gone. She's never coming back.
Wow.
And she never came back, did she, Pipe?
No, I've missed her ever since.
That's sort of the dark ending to the story, Ron.
Yeah, the end.
You know?
But did your moms ever just reach that point where like they just like they needed like their 15 minutes of like, I'm going to choke these kids if I don't just breathe some fresh air or get some quiet.
100%. And they would like, my mom would escape to her room, like shut the door. And then though, and this is what I want to ask you boys, then it turned into the classic, wait until your dad gets home. He's going to deal with this. And it's like, no, it's like, oh, no, you just announced the apocalypse is what you announced right there.
See, my mom would it took an enormous amount for that to be the case. And it was one of those things where like, if I had like done something really bad at school and my mom, she's the one who picked us up. So she gets the note from the teacher and she's like, we will talk to your father about this.
Dude, that's when it's bad though. All cliches aside, that's when it was brutal. If it was something to where she wouldn't take care of it on her own, which is actually what you always hoped. And if it was like, yeah, we'll put this on hold until Pops came home. You were done. And then the rest of your afternoon was ruined and you were scared to death. And again, you know, this hasn't happened to me since I was seven because, you know, of everything I described. But yeah.
Yeah.
Ted, did you ever get the wait till your father gets home?
You know, I've been sitting here thinking about it. And I think because I was an only child, there just wasn't that level of chaos. You know what I mean? And there's nobody for me to fight with. Like if I was
to fight with T, so you didn't really ever get in that big of trouble, right?
So. No. And if I did, it was always like, because of somebody else in the neighborhood or whatever that I was, you know, fighting with or whatever. So it never got to that, like, wait till your dad gets home point. Now there were definitely times where like my dad would get very upset with me. And it would kind of be good cop, bad cop a little bit, although they were always on the same page. Dude, I remember one time when, and this was so formative, man. It's funny what's formative about growing up. I was in high school and it must've been like shortly after I got my license. So I was probably 16, maybe a junior. And, I'd gone bowling with some friends and I was supposed to be home at 11 and I got home at like 11:03, like literally 3 minutes after the curfew. And my pops freaked. Like he was waiting for me and like waiting to chew me out. Uh-oh. And I was kind of like, what's the big deal? But it was him just like teaching me a lesson about when you say you're going to do something, like you need to do it, you need to follow through. And it's amazing what sticks with you. So like, I wanted to ask you guys, so we've kind of talked about like what specifically we learned from our moms, but what attribute did you take, like what aspect of your personality did you like most get from your mom? Mm. And I think for me, it would be like, she was always the soft kind of tenderhearted one and very tenderhearted toward anybody who had less or anybody who was weaker. Just exceedingly kind, forgiving, the first person to say, I'm sorry, the first person to say, I forgive you. Like whatever kind of soft heartedness I got, I think I got from her. What about you guys?
My mom, there's a couple. I mean, I mentioned all the reading and everything earlier. So in terms of like habits and that kind of thing, just the real enjoyment of a really good story and imagination and creativity, those kinds of things. My mom was always crafting. Like she would read to us while knitting or crocheting or whatever. Like just, she just did those things for fun. You know, it wasn't,
shout out crafting. That was a big 80s thing too. Oh,
yeah. Cute. Yeah. Yeah. And like, she still does that. Like she'll just like set up a book, or I guess now she reads a lot of electronically. So sets up her iPad and just sits there and crochets or knits. And so like all of us kids have like blankets that she's made us and things like that. So that whole side, just the creativity, imagination side. But I think in terms of personality traits, like my mom is just unflappable, you know? So like that instance where she walked out of the house was so, it stands out because it just didn't happen. Like she didn't lose her mind, even though I'm sure we gave her many reasons to. And you know, we've put her through some hell over the years, all of us kids in some way, shape or form. And she's just steady as the day is long. And I think, you know, being married to my dad for 50, whatever, 2-3 years now, and being with him through kind of the craziness of ministry, just solid as a rock. And I think, I don't know if I've absorbed that in terms of personality trait or as much as aspiration, but I look at that and I go, she just shows her strength in that. And I think I've absorbed some of it in just sort of like weathering things. She just weathers a lot of stuff and comes out the other side. I'm sure she bears the marks of it, but for the most part, she doesn't like crumble under the pressure of things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Dude, I feel like I spent half my childhood waiting in a Joanne Fabrics. You know what I mean? Like my mom's getting all her crafting stuff. I'm looking at like the fake fur, which was the only cool thing to look at in Joanne Fabrics. Hours.
Yes, being hours dragged to Joanne or Michael's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the worst. Shopping with my mom. Jerry Seinfeld has this bit about how as a child, boredom is heavy. So as you wait with your parents, like you just can't stand up anymore because it's so heavy. Yeah. And I just remember, being in craft stores with my mom and just feeling like I'm going to melt into the floor.
Dude, how many like collective thousands of dollars did our moms spend on like crafting stuff growing up? We'd probably all be millionaires.
Oh, yeah. I want to know. I want to, like, if I could just have all the money she spent on like hot glue sticks.
Oh, totally, dude.
Just that. I would, I could put one of my children through college.
Totally. Like the glue gun was fascinating, though. I'm like, this is really cool, Mom.
I always loved that glue gun, but I always loved
the glue gun.
It was upon penalty of death that you would ever touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to achieve a certain level of trustworthiness before I could help my mom. Cause she used to make these Advent calendars. You know, so like one piece goes on each day, and they're like these big fabric things, but they were made for like little kids. So you'd hang them low when the kid could put them. And then there was kind of a whole story, and you read through it bit by bit to get to, you know, Jesus in the manger was the thing that happened on Christmas morning. But she made them all. So it was like sewing and Velcroing. But then there was like, you had to hot glue the Velcro onto the little pieces, and that became my job. And it was like, it was like a promotion from childhood into trustworthiness when I got to use the hot glue gun for the advent calendar pieces.
Big pipe. I don't know that I ever graduated to it. I don't think I was ever trusted with
Ron's
it.
Ron's still waiting to use that glue Rob's gun. Now, yeah. Baby, we got to get you a glue gun.
I mean, I would love a glue gun, boy.
Hey, how about this? Listen,
if you can find it in your heart for a Christmas gift this year or something, but
well, man, not this year, baby. Listen, in 6 years when we're able to do live shows again,
you're gonna present me with a personalized glue gun.
We're gonna present you with a
monogrammed glue guns,
dude. That would be big.
I'm gonna put it in like a gold case with like velvet with a little cutout of a glue gun in it.
So it could be a custom case. Just kind of giving you some ideas there, but it'd be hard to contain my emotions, you know. So, you know, expect a lot of tears and just the inability to even thank you in the moment. I'm going to be so choked.
I love it. Well, in true mom fashion, I'll be waiting by the mailbox for the thank you note like a week and a half later. That's another mom thing. Like, hey,
in true mom fashion, you won't have to, because by the time you get home, it will already be there.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Like, are you guys having issues with the mail? Because, like, I haven't seen a thank you note yet. You know?
So that is one thing I learned from my mom that I'm so grateful for, is she just never made a big deal out of stuff like that. She made me write thank you notes, you know, if grandma sends me birthday money or whatever. But I never remember my mom getting huffy about things she didn't receive. You know, thanks she didn't receive. It just wasn't an issue, which... So, like, it never crosses my mind to expect a thank you from anybody for anything. And I think it's kind of great, because you just go through life being a lot less offended.
That's helpful, because no one says it anymore for any reason. So
unless you're a Chick-fil-A, then you say it as often as you can just to see if you can get them to say my pleasure. It's like a game.
Nice.
Ronnie, what did you what – I don't think you answered the character trait quality from your mom.
Yeah, I think she had kind of this unwavering – you know, just sense of sacrifice. I think, you know, I think it was, we kind of touched on it, but it was this ability to just sort of exist and be, you know, in the mundane, mundaneness of life with all of us kids, and to just be steady. And it's remarkable when you look back on it. Right. And, you know, I don't remember her. I mean, I'm sure she had really bad days. And I know she did, but that ability to just do all of these things that don't get her any props, and, you know, nobody's telling her how great she is. You know, again, it was before our culture where you have the ability to, like, you know, post something and everybody tells you how, you know, faithful and how devoted you are. But there was none of that back then. And she was just super devoted, like 100% devoted to us and to Dad. And just, I mean, all of the stuff, all the driving. I mean, I'm underplaying the amount of driving we did, seriously, because it was extreme. It was unbelievable. And she just did it. And with very little appreciation, for sure, you know, because we were kids. Yeah. So we didn't realize it at the time. So just that ability to do things that aren't fun, aren't enjoyable, that you don't get a lot of appreciation for, but you do it because it's the right thing to do and it's your calling, you know?
Yeah. Man, well said. That's it really does make me nostalgic for that time. They weren't performing, you know.
Exactly.
They weren't.
That, well said. Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't putting on for anybody. It was just daily devotion, daily grind. Interesting stuff, man. This has been a good ad, boys. This has been, like, I think, restorative for me, in that it had gotten hard to do radio lately, and all we needed was to talk about our moms. So
a little bit of brightness in the midst of what has been an abject disaster of a news cycle / year / whatever.
Totally.
What we need is mom.
That's it, man. Mom, the Econoline, the 8-tracks, trips to Joann Fabrics. That's the prescription for our broken world right now. That and the gospel, obviously.
I think that's our prescription for it. That's
totally
what we're going to write, boys.
Dude, the book we're going to write and never get a deal for. We can write that one in 2026 after we pull together just a few things. That no doubt it will be a bestseller. Boys, we've done what we always do in this program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout this topic. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Do you want to better understand the Bible and give biblical answers to those who ask you about your faith? Hi, this is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Podcast Show. Listen to us weekly as we bring the truth often found in the ivory towers of seminary down to the steeple towers of the local church. Join me along with many of the nation's top theologians as we offer answers to life tough questions from an apologetic perspective. Subscribe to the show at lifeaudio.com.